My name's Lorraine. I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Lorraine.
Welcome.
And I came into these rooms in July of 1989, and it was a real bad, rough start. I had visited maybe about 2 or 3 years before, and I'm sorry for those people in my area. You've heard this story so many times, I'm surprised you're not standing up and reciting it with me. But my therapist said that I should go to OA, and I said, all right, I'll go. It's one I haven't tried. So I went to this church, and I went downstairs, because that was the only door that was open. And I go down, there's a big room, a lot of people, I'm a little nervous. And so I went to the one man at the door, and I said, is this the OA meeting? Yeah, no, and he hollers over to his friend, Harry, the lady's looking for the OA meeting. There's like 1,000 people in this room, they're all looking at me. No, it's not in that room. It's a Catholic church. It's a bingo game. The room down the hall. So I go down the hall. It's the nursery. They're plastic chairs this high. And I sit on one, and one other woman comes. And this entire time, this lunatic is telling me everything there is in something called the guidelines. And we went over the guidelines. She read me the steps. She read me the traditions. And all I thought was, how the hell am I going to get out of this chair? I had a vision of crawling to the parking lot and hauling myself up on the handle of my car door. She says to me, you know, there's this great meeting. They have a lot of sponsors. You should get a sponsor. Go to that meeting. Oh, yeah. I go back to my therapist, and I say, that was not a good idea. That didn't fit at all. She says, well, what are you going to do? You're not happy being fat. I said, go back to Weight Watchers. I did really good at Weight Watchers for about a week or two. And there was this dynamic Weight Watcher leader. And she was Sunday mornings. And the last time I went to Weight Watchers, I can remember this. Saturday, I go to the store and I buy all of the stuff, because I know the list, it's memorized. And I go to the store, buy everything, it's in the house, in the refrigerator, tell everybody I'm going back to Weight Watchers this time, it's going to be different. And I go and I sit there, and sure enough, here's this dynamic. Oh, she's so good. I come out of there, I am charged. And I get home, and my husband has been to another store, and these worm things are sitting on the counter in the kitchen. I ate three. They're about this size, and I ate three. That was the end of the Weight Watchers. It was so unbelievably depressing that at some point I decided that I was not going to read another magazine, I was not going to discuss weight loss with my mother, and I was never going to join another gym or another program. I wasn't going to another Janine Roth's weekend in the Berkshires. I was just going to be a jolly fat person. But meanwhile, I'm still going to my therapist, and she's not buying this. She says, you know, I really think you ought to try OA again. I said, I don't want to try it again. They're crazy, you know, like this lady. Why don't you try the place that she mentioned? You might like that one. I said, all right, I'll go. So I go. Huge group of people. The biggest assembly of crazies I had ever They are talking about being abstinent. Are you ready for this? Now, I'm a binge eater. My life comes in gallon cartons and the family size package. And they're talking about three measured meals a day, nothing in between but coffee, tea, or diet soda. What the hell is that? What about parties at work? What about snacks on the way home? What about when you go to a ball game? What do you do? Take it with you? What? And they're all happy. Everybody in this room is happy. They go to a wedding. It sounded like they didn't have much to eat at all. They skipped the whole cocktail hour. They skipped the end of the meal, and they didn't go near the Viennese table. And I'm like, this was a good time. I should want to do this. So I left. I mean, they were nice. I liked them. They're nice people. But they're not my kind of people. So I left. And now I'm still with the same therapist. There's a problem here. So she says, you know, Lorraine, I really think you ought to give OA another try. What's with the OA? I don't relate to those people. Why would I go back? She says, because you talk about food the way an alcoholic talks about alcohol. Well, I didn't want to hear that. But I went back. I went back convinced and critical, positive that this was not going to work for me. It was not where I belonged. I was only going to shut this woman up. So I go. Now, mind you, this is July, and I show up in my summer uniform, which is one brand of white pants with elastic waist. And my standard, nobody knows I'm fat, top, which had sleeves, and it was full. As a matter of fact, I probably wore the same style when I was pregnant, but I didn't think of it quite that way. But the stripes went up and down. My hair was done. I was made up, so nobody would know that this 5 and a half foot is coming in weighing 260 pounds, but nobody's gonna know that I need this program. So, I sit through the meeting, they stand up, who sponsors, blah, 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 get a sponsor, and I look around, and you know what, there are a couple of cool people in this room. They were really cool, I kinda liked them, they talked, I got that. But they weren't available. So at the end of the meeting, I'm going to, with my cloak of invisibility, gonna sidle out of the room. And I get all the way to the front of the building. And behind me, I hear this voice. Yoo-hoo! It's this woman that was sitting next to me. I hardly noticed her. And I said, oh, hi. And she says, did you get a sponsor? No, I didn't get a sponsor. Would you like me to be your sponsor? Oh. Now, could we just have a moment here? My mother raised me right. What the neighbors will think was key. Everything else could go to hell as long as the neighbors that were impressed. So when she said to me, would you like me to be your sponsor? Of course, what did I do? I smiled and I said, yes, thank you. Inside, I'm screaming, hell no. The outside. I already got the act as if part. So anyway, we sit down in this public space. People are walking by. This is a library. And we're talking about her being my sponsor and what's my food plan? What are my binge food? Okay, we eliminate all of those. Well, you know, no, all right. Well, we get up with a list that's like this long. But I did find out that I didn't have to put anything on it that I didn't like. Okay, that's fine. Oh, that's really good. Thank you very much. That was good. Whoa. You need to call me if you're going. Here's your choice. If you choose to be abstinent, you can call me with your weighed and measured three meals. Oh, okay. All right, sure. Sure. Meanwhile, inside we said, ooh, I'm not doing this. Not doing this. Oh, she says, all right, so now what are you going to have for lunch today? Whoa. Today's Saturday. I'm not doing this on Saturday. Monday I'm gonna do. So I'm like heart sick over this. I'm stuck with these three things to eat for lunch in like 30 minutes. This is not how I planned my weekend. So then she says, you'll need my phone number. Now I'm dead. So she says, now, and she says it again, it's totally your choice. I'm not going to call you. It's up to you. But this is your committed food for today. And if you eat that and you choose to do this again tomorrow, you write down all your food, weighed and measured amounts, and you call me at this time and give me your food. I go home, I'm furious, because who the hell does she think she is? She thinks I can't do this? She thinks that I'm some kind of an idiot, that I'm not going to be able to do this? Well, guess what? She was pretty right. Close to it. Because I fought with myself. It was like I was a schizophrenic. I would be there. I am walking out to that refrigerator and I'm going to open that door and I'm going to eat whatever I get, please. And then the voice would say, no, you're not. No, you're not. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Yes. And I didn't. I followed the starvation plan. I had my lunch weighed and measured. I had my dinner weighed and measured. And I called her the next day and I said, well, I did it. Oh, she says, that's wonderful. I knew you could. I am so happy. And I said, well, I'm glad you are. So what I want to say is, I know it sounds funny, but it's not. Walking around with 260 pounds was not fun. When I went to my son's wedding and the songs that were played were my favorites because I love to dance, and I couldn't dance because my knees hurt too bad, because I couldn't move to the music, it didn't make me laugh. It wasn't funny. Going to the doctor and just coming with this denial that I was looking okay, and to happen to look at the chart on the table and it read DX, morbidly obese. I didn't start laughing when I read that. When he upped blood pressure medication and my sister, who's a nurse, said to me, Lorraine Francis, that's all your weight because we don't have high blood pressure in our family. I didn't think that was amusing. I was killing myself. And not only was I killing myself physically, but my spirit. I was destroying my spirit. I could never have a great time. There was always a yes, but. That was a nice party, but. That's a nice dress, but. Everything had a but. And why did it have a but? Because the simple fact was, I didn't know how to stop eating. And for a while I thought, if I could just lose weight and look like everybody else, I'll feel terrific. I'll feel so good. I'll be happy. people will like me. They'll invite me places. I'll be the in-group. But I couldn't do it. I can't tell you how many things people gave me advice about. Push myself away from the table. Only eat half. Only take one. Go to this program. Follow this diet. My mother was just really good intentioned. You know how those intentions are. But she sent me a program from Stearns. It was a department store. And it was a whole book of exercises that was going to help me lose weight. So I started. Until about the third day, I realized you had to do this set of exercises an hour before you ate, and this set of exercises an hour after you ate. Well, guess what? You couldn't eat much because I was always doing exercise. So that program didn't work. Just didn't work. I went into Optifast. I was great at Optifast. I'm an addict. I am good with the extreme. Starve or stuff. And Optifast was wonderful. I went to restaurants and made this disgusting mix with powder and water, and I'd add some sugar-free syrup, and it would turn color, and I would drink that, and I felt like Saint Laurent. I lost a lot of weight in a month, and then I go back to the doctor, and oh, I got all kinds of praise. Oh, I was a star. They were going to put my picture up on a board. Until he said, oh, Lorraine, today, when you're here, you're going to go to our nurse nutritionist because we're going to start to introduce a little bit of food. Okay. Can I tell you, it was lettuce. I am the only Optifast failure that failed eating excessive lettuce. Because I started on the lettuce and then it needed something. So something became something else to go with. And before I knew it, I wasn't going back to the Optifast doctor anymore. I was spending the money on food at the grocery store because it was over. So when I came into the rooms, it was not because I thought this was a wonderful place to be. I came here because I was a failure. I came here because I had no place else to go. And what did I find when I got here? Very simply, what I found were the only people on this entire planet that spoke my language. I could go out with my friends to a diner and they would say, oh, this meal was so full, I can't eat another bite. And I'd say, me too. And then I would take home. And then I would eat it. It was almost like enforced dishonesty. Because no matter what I agreed to, it was not true. If they said they were full, first of all, I didn't know what difference full made. What does that mean, full? You're not going to have any more because you're full? What a ridiculous statement. It's there, isn't it? Does it look good? Is it is it good food? Eat it. Oh, I can't. I'm so full. I had one humiliating experience that I didn't even have the intelligence or the wisdom to recognize how much I embarrassed myself. There was this other couple that were very dear friends of ours, and we went to this very special, highly recommended restaurant that had fabulous food. And we go there, and it was everything we had been told. And now we get the dessert menu. And I'm looking at this, and boy, first of all, my first choice is what's the biggest? And I figure out there's two things on this menu that I have to have. So I said, oh, I can't decide. Do I want this one or this one? And my friend says, well, how can you eat anything? She says, I am so full, I'm not ordering dessert. I said, what are you talking about? We're here. You know, like, look at this. I think you should order that. She says, I'm not going to order it. Why would I order it? I said, well, I'm going to get this one. Why don't you get that one? That one looks really good. Now she's getting a little bit testy because I keep, you know. And she says, I'm not going to order it. Why would I order it? Because if I'm not going to eat it. And without thinking, through gritted teeth, I said, because I am. And she did. She ordered the dessert, and I ate both. That's who I am. I'm a compulsive overeater. So I come into these rooms with these crazy people. I've got this sponsor. What happened? I had to stay because these people that I had never met raised their hands, shared what it was like to go to a wedding, shared what it was like to have a death in the family, shared what it was like to have the snack room at work, shared what it was like to be angry with a spouse or dealing with a troubled child. And the message was, they weren't compulsively overeating, they were working the steps, they were working with their tools, they were calling a sponsor, reading the literature, doing the writings. They had found a way to cope with life without excess food. And as far as I was concerned, they knew a hell of a lot more than I did. Because when I got there, I didn't know any of that. I didn't know about one day at a time. Because my sponsor taught me that right away. Because we're sitting outside in July going over my food plan. And I said, we're big bakers in my family. Especially at Christmas. We do a lot. You know, we get a lot of... She says to me, Lorraine, it's July. You know what? Why don't we wait till Christmas is coming and then we'll talk? Well, you know what? The gift of sponsorship, I learned a lot from the sponsor I had going into these big holidays, going into Halloween, going into Thanksgiving, going into Christmas, going into any kind of a celebration where there's so much food available, so much tradition, so much family feelings. And I followed the suggestions. And what happened? Well, I'll show you how this lady looked when she came into the rooms. This is what happens. One day at a time, I follow the food plan that I've chosen that's healthy for me and fits my lifestyle. I have a sponsor that I connect with every day. I do writings. I do gratitudes. I go to step meeting. I go to big book meeting. I go for retreat weekends. I come for unity days. I have a network of people like me. And the one thing they have all taught me is that I can be in recovery one day at a time. And it's interesting how that truly came to become real for me. I've had a number of sponsors during the years. And one sponsor I had is probably younger than one of my children. And when she opened up a meeting one day, she said that she was grateful to be able to lead the meeting because she met the requirement of abstinence, but she wanted everybody in the room to know that the only person in the room that was abstinent more longer than she was the person that got up before her that morning. So what does that say to me? The same thing. My recovery is today. It's not from July to December. It's today. It's doing what I need to do to not allowing myself to forget how bad I felt and to recognize there's not going to be a food or a situation or a problem or a crisis that's going to be made any better by going back to my old behaviors. And the only way I can sustain this is to stay here, to fight all the time, to avoid becoming complacent, to avoid saying to myself, this one time it'll be okay. It's not going to be okay. You know, somebody in one of the rooms, I hope I get this right, because it just struck me. She said half of her brain lies and the other half believes it. That's me. I cannot, Lorraine, cannot afford to work a soft, easy program. Because I was not a soft, easy eater. I'm a volume eater. And I know in my heart that it would take me a nanosecond to go right back there. When I was, my first year that I celebrated, one of the people in our program gave me this little tiny green feather. And he said, hold on to this. He says, because this is what you found, this is what you're working. The slightest shift in the air, and you're going to not have it. That's true. If I do today what I've done so far, then this summer, I'll have my 25 years. What I need to focus on is today. Because if I don't do the right thing today, then I'm not going to have anything in the summer that I value. I work my steps. I don't know how I could have lived as long as I did without doing more damage, without knowing how to work the steps. I've had some incredible experiences with sponsors who have helped me go through the steps. And I do know that the most critical one for me is step one. Because if I ever allow myself to think for one instant that I'm not powerless over food, then everything else is going to crumble. Because that's the only thing that makes doing the work of all the other steps productive. Because if I'm not a compulsive overeater, why aren't I at Weight Watchers? Why didn't Weight Watchers not work? Because I'm a compulsive overeater. I can't save up points and eat them on the weekend. You know, who knows where that would end? But I can work on being powerless over food and not being ashamed, celebrating that I am powerless over food. I do know that. I accept that. I've got blue eyes and I'm a compulsive overeater, and that's it. That's the fact of my life, of who I am. And I am so grateful and filled with joy that when we talk about a solution, it's doable. Sometimes it's not easy. Making amends is not the thing that I would volunteer for, especially with difficult people who were wrong. You know? But I can do it. There are days being abstinent. It's not easy. You know, I can go to a place and buy stuff for the family, no problem. Next time I go in, it's like, whoa, I never had one of those. You know, ooh. You know, how do I get past it? Step one, I'm powerless. What's going to happen? One going to be enough? I don't think so. And where did I learn all this? I didn't make this up. This all came from rooms like this. This all came from people raising their hand. In recovery, just to make sure that we all know, There's been a lot going on in my life that's not been great. I lost both my parents. We came to grips with one of our children who was suicidal. We dealt with another child that was for a long time an active alcoholic. My husband and I were separated. We were going to get divorced. And after 48 years in our home, we sold it and moved into this small apartment. And guess what? It's all doable. I got through it. It didn't feel great. It wasn't fun. It wasn't funny. It wasn't amusing. It wasn't easy. But I had what I learned in these rooms. I was powerless over so much. I had to learn to put my faith in a higher power and to trust that not that I was going to get the outcome I wanted, but I would get the strength. My prayers now are for patience, for wisdom, for the willingness to keep my mouth shut, for understanding. My biggest prayer is for compassion. Why? Because that's what I learned here. Getting the new car, getting the gold star, getting this, getting that. The things that never happened, I should have known somehow, but I didn't get those lessons. I got the lessons here. This is what recovery was about for me. It's the three-legged stool that we've heard about thousands of times. I got the physical recovery. That's tenuous. If I have a this or a that, it's gone. I got the emotional recovery. I can work for a very difficult boss without wetting the bladder on my desk with tears. I can just accept. Where did I learn how to accept? Acceptance is the answer in the big book. Where did I learn how to deal with a person that I don't like to work for? I learned to say the serenity resentment prayer. Where did I find that? It's in the big book. Those are the lessons. This is my classroom. And where am I now? I'm right where I was when I came in. I'm still just a bozo on a bus. I'm looking for recovery, the next step, the next bit of progress, the next strength, the next something that somebody's going to share that's going to help me. And for today, what I can do, what is it in my story that could help somebody else? Thank you all.
Thank you very much. That was lovely. I don't know about you, but for me, it's a pleasure to be here today and laugh. I mean, I was in this room all afternoon. We laughed and giggled quite a few times, and it's a pleasure to come and feel blessed to get recovery, but to smile and laugh. We're not a glum lot, and I love that line, so it's terrific. We're going to close first with a prayer. We're going to do Roseanne's prayer. So we're going to close with that, and then we're going to do the raffle. So I know quite a few people over the years leave. Can you please just leave quietly and let us take care of the raffle, but we'll do that. So if we could all stand and do Roseanne's prayer together, that would be terrific.
We all linked.
Ready?
I put my hand in yours, and together we can do what we can never do alone. No longer is there a sense of hopelessness. No longer must we each depend upon our own unsteady willpower. We are all together now, reaching out our hands for power and strength greater than ours. And as we join hands, we find love and understanding beyond our wildest dreams. Keep coming back, it works when you work it, so work it, you're worth it, and give a lot of love, and don't pick up.